Welcome. Let us now return to our service for today as Evangelist Donnie Swaggart continues this message entitled Charismatic Witchcraft.
You have heard me mention many times in preaching about John G. Lake. He's one of my heroes in the faith. Brother Lake left the United States. The denomination that he created, the Apostolic Faith Mission, is still in operation today. It is the largest Pentecostal denomination in all of South Africa, well over nearly 2,000 churches, not just in South Africa, but literally all over Africa. He tells a story. After he had established his church in Johannesburg, he did not have Sunday morning or Sunday night services. He had Sunday afternoon services. And even though there was separation among the races, even at that time, his services were attended and open to people of all races. And there was no problem. And he told the story of one day in the middle of one of his Sunday afternoon messages, a gentleman walked in, came down toward the front, sat down, and sat for just about 10 minutes, and then interrupted the service. He stood up. He was not bombastic. He was very polite, but still he interrupted the service. He said, "Brother Lake, my name is William Dugan." He said, "I came to the Republic of South Africa to make my fortune. But," he said, "I have lived a life of debauchery since I'm here, and my lifestyle, through my lifestyle, I have been told that I am dying, and I don't have much longer to live. Do you think God can help me?" And Brother Lake said, "You've come to the right place." He said, "We'll dispense with the rest of the service. Come down." They anointed him with oil, prayed for him, and in a few minutes, God saved him. Not only saved him, but God healed him. A few weeks later, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. A few weeks later, he stopped Dr. Lake and he said, "I have something working on the inside of me. I can't explain it, but I feel like the Lord is directing me to start praying for the sick." And Brother Lake said, "Well, that's fine." He goes, but I don't feel a call to preach. And you've got to be a preacher." And he said, no, sir, you don't." He set him down, brought him to the very passage that I read, and began to go through the gifts of the Spirit. And he got to the part of miracles and healings. He said, "My brother," he said, "a true minister of the gospel should have at least one of the gifts or more of the Spirit working in their life. But the gifts of the Spirit are not just for the preacher. They're for the entirety of the body of Christ." And he said, "What you're sensing and feeling is more than likely God giving you a gift of healing." And he said, "Well, how do I know to use it?" He said, "Just start using it. The Lord will open the door." And he said, "Well, what if I misuse it?" He goes, "Don't worry, you will misuse it as you begin in the early days, but the Lord will teach you." Well, a few months went by, and all of a sudden, Dr. Lake got word that this brother had heard about an area of South Africa, about 2 or 3 hours out of Johannesburg, an epidemic of some kind. It was some type of fever. And it was running across that part of South Africa, and people were dying like flies. And Brother Lake found out, word came to him, that Brother Dugan had gone down there, and that hundreds of people were getting healed. And so he had to find out for himself, so he went down to that part of South Africa. And in the writing, he said, "When I got there, I found out the report was not true. Hundreds were not being healed. Thousands were being healed. Thousands were being healed." And he said, I found where he was. And he said, "I watched him, a convert of my ministry. He would walk in." He said, "There would be people laying out, doctors trying to tend to them, many of them in the last stages of life. And he would simply walk in and he would say, 'In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be made whole.' Turn around, walk out." And when he would leave, they would all be healed by the power of God. Never preached a sermon. Never held up a Bible, said, "Would you open your Bibles to a text? Just walk it." Didn't make a big show out of it. And he realized Brother Lake was there, and he deferred to this great healing evangelist. And yet, Brother Lake said, "No, I think you're doing pretty good on your own." And he stayed with him for several days. And in this time, not one single person that he prayed for, every one of them was healed. They received an invitation after several days to go to a house for some rest and refreshment. They got there. The man of the house, he was serving them. In a few minutes, his daughter came into the room, and she was on crutches. She had been born with horrible, horrible club feet. Brother Lake said they were grotesque to look at. And as she drug herself on those crutches into the room, and you can imagine if that was your child. And that father looked with a voice of desperation and said, "Do you think God could touch my daughter?" Brother Lake said before he could answer, Brother Dugan went over and sat down and said, "Come here, honey." And she brought her way over, and he said, "Sit down in front of me." And he just reached down and picked up one of those club foots in his hand. And he just simply said, "In the name of Jesus, be natural." And Brother Lake said, "It was as if you blinked your eye." He said, "I blinked. One second it was deformed. When the eye opened, it was made whole." He reached down and picked the other one up. Held it in his hand. Not a demonstrative show. He didn't have to scream out, "In the name of Jesus." He just said, "In the name of Jesus, be made natural." And instantly, in the blink of an eye, that other foot was made whole. She had staggered in on crutches, and she walked out with brand new feet. And Brother Lake went on to say that until he left, he said, "I never saw the man preach a sermon. I never saw him teach a Sunday school class. I never saw him fulfill any of the fivefold ministry callings of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. But I saw the gift of the Spirit in the realm of healings working and operating in his life for the edification, for the betterment of the body of Christ." Now understand something. The gifts of the Spirit are for the church today. And the reality is, to be a true New Testament church, all nine gifts of the Spirit should be in operation in every single church. But the sad fact is, and I know what I'm talking about, I spend between 200 and 250 days a year traveling the whole world preaching this gospel. And the fact of the matter is, in most charismatic and Pentecostal churches, there are no gifts of the Spirit in operation at all. And if there is a gift in operation, it is almost always tongues and interpretation of tongues. But therefore, without the gifts of the Spirit at operation, you have an undernourished, underdeveloped church that can never do for Christ in that local community what Jesus Christ desires to do. And spiritually, every member of that church is spiritually malnourished, because the gifts of the Spirit in operation are for the betterment of the congregation of that local church. They're there to help us, and we will get into that in just a moment. But I've seen on the other extreme, we go from the extreme of no gifts in operation to the other extreme of what I've titled this message, charismatic witchcraft, which is a misuse of the gifts of the Spirit. I received a videotape in the mail from an individual who asked me to watch it, wanting my opinion. I put the videotape in. I didn't know what it was. It was TBN. Paul Crouch comes on the screen with Benny Hinn. They are talking about a recent series of meetings that Ken has had. first thing they were talking about was the gold dust that supposedly appeared on the minister's face. No, it didn't. I'll just help you out. No gold dust appeared. How do I know? Because it's not in the book. There is no scripture saying that Paul went somewhere and gold dust appeared, or Peter, or John, or Matthew, or Mark. And let me tell you something. If you're so shallow in your walk with the Lord that you've got to have a dime store gimmick reinforce your faith, then you need to get saved. You need to get saved. I don't need real or fake manifestations to prove God exists and that He is still a miracle-working God. I believe it because the book says it, whether I've seen it or not. It makes no difference if I've never seen a person healed in my life. Healing is still real because the Bible says it is. It makes no difference if I've never seen a single demon-possessed person, and I have seen, and I have cast out demons, but it makes no difference if I've ever seen it happen. I know it's real because the book says it's real. So I don't need some demonstration. I just need to read the book like some of you need to do every once in a while. If you open the pages, instead of taking what everybody has to say, you might get an education. Hello? I got one email. They were just ripping me up. I wrote them back real nice, showed them the scripture, and then I'm so glad they had the courtesy to email me back. Said, I didn't know that was there. Just read it. Just read it. Just start at Genesis 1. It's not hard to understand. And if you don't understand something, just buy our commentary. And then they begin a long theological discussion of where the gold dust comes from. According to Paul Crouch, the gold dust comes from the fact that there's so much gold in heaven. And there's so many people running on the streets and dancing that they're scuffing up the streets of gold. You know, God, He gave us streets of gold, but He can't give us gold that lasts. You know, it's getting kind of worn. And so as it gets worn, everybody, or the choreographed dancing, let me tell you something. I saw an ad in Charisma, and they'll run ads on anything. Conference on the Holy Spirit Arts. First of all, nothing like that exists. And one of them was, three of them, flag ministry, tambourine ministry, and the choreographed dance ministry. Where do you find that in the Bible? I was preaching, I've told this before, but I'll tell you again because I got some fresh faces that I ain't never seen before, that I haven't seen before. I hope Miss Gorey's not here. She's our English teacher at the academy. First, I'm preaching in California. In the middle of service, here comes like 20 people with tambourines. They're all dressed in white and they're... out there. I tell you, working like a pouring sweat working. And I'm sitting down and they're killing me. Hitting me. And I'm the guest speaker. And I'm doing this. And I finally reached up and grabbed that hand and I said, could you just move up about 5 feet? Go to another place and then here comes the flags. And I'm watching this. I knew it was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. There's one. Bam! If it's God, He ain't going to knock your brains out in the middle of the service. And the person's going like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I see men as trees walking. And you don't have to be a prophet on the third one. If you weigh 400 pounds, you don't need a tutu dancing in church. So, the esteemed host, who is a biblical theological scholar, obviously, he said, this gold falls down. And as it filters through the spirit world, it finds those who are God's choicest servants. So I guess that leaves us out. But I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. And it finds God's choicest servants, and it just falls on them. So they were sitting there. I'm looking at it. And then he said, now we've had many take issue with this, that it's not of God. That's the understatement of the year. But he said, and this is the first part's been funny. Now here's the serious part. He said, this is what Benny has to say to those of you that would try to come against this. And he said, you did this in a recent crusade. We were there. And God directed you to do this because of those that were taking issue with certain aspects of your ministry. The camera switched. The picture switched. I mean, he's on a platform. And they're showing the clip from the crusade. And as he's standing there, he is talking. All of a sudden, he gets angry. He stops and he says, there have been those saying some things about my ministry. You call yourself preachers. He said, listen to me very carefully. According to the authority of the Word of God, I put a curse on you. Any Christian, he said, that speaks one word against my ministry, God will curse you, your ministry will fall, and I am not going to rule out death. Now, this is a perfect example of the misuse of the gifts of the Spirit, because he said he was speaking as a prophet. He spoke that first. I speak this as a prophet. Well, first of all, there's no scripture in the Bible that gives a Christian the authority to put a curse on anybody, much less another child of God. Hello? Hello? That there is absolutely no scriptural text or reference to back that up. So what is it? It is charismatic witchcraft. It is the work of Satan trying to stop those like me who will stand up and speak out and point a finger and say, this is right and this is wrong, and that is wrong. There is no such thing as a curse. And I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. And I'm not scared. I'm not going to die tonight. I'm going to be here tomorrow and the next week preaching the Word of God, because it is not the Word of God what you are doing. And I'm not being unkind. I love him. I love him enough to tell him the truth. What you're doing will not edify. It will hurt the body of Christ. It is demon spirit driven. It is the powers of darkness driven. And I'm going to go even further. All of those people plopping around like fish, that's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. That is not in the Bible. Let me tell you something. When you get off into error, and you get into the realm of the gifts, and you begin to knowingly misuse them, the door opens wide for a spirit of divination. a spirit of divination, a spirit of witchcraft, a spirit of sorcery that begins to work, begins to operate, because for everything God has, Satan has a counterfeit part. The Holy Spirit has his anointing, and Satan has his anointing as well. It is an unholy anointing that will come upon someone that will make them so irresistible that if you are not in the Word, if you don't know the Word, if you're not close to the Lord, you can be sucked in even when you see them doing things that are not in the Word of God. As one preacher told me the other day, well, I don't care about that because I saw somebody healed. Well, did you? First of all, how do you know that person was sick? You're only taking their word for it. It's like the guy, and this is a true story. He stood up in one of these chairs and he said, oh man, God gave me a gold tooth last night. Everybody starts shouting, this is true. And all of a sudden his wife stood up and said, are you crazy? The dentist did that 30 years ago. Let me help you here. People will lie to get on television. Hello? 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 What more than to get on television? Oh, I had this, but now I don't. Hello? Never mind, there's 100 people in wheelchairs that he never talks to and he never prays for. I don't know. I mean, I have to be honest with you. I'm almost 400 years old. And I'm almost 50. Somebody said, you're middle aged. No, wait a minute. How many 100-year-old people do you know? The lifespan is about 75, baby. About 36 or 37 is getting to be middle age. So that first row, the middle one over there, he's way past. And I have to be honest with you, I don't understand everything there is about divine healing. But this one thing I do know, every man or woman that God raised up and gave them a true biblical healing ministry, they came out of the wheelchairs, they brought them in on beds, and they walked out carrying the bed. When you walked into old brother Raymond T. Ritchie's church, he's gone on to be with the Lord in Houston, Texas, there were wheelchairs stuck against the wall. There were crutches up against the wall. There were beds up against the wall of those who were crippled and lame, and they were wheeled in. They were bedded in, but they walked out by the power of God. I saw Anthony Quinn on television, the actor who's dead now. And the reporter said, you went to Amy Simple McPherson's church, didn't you? He said, my mom and dad were members there. I sang in the choir. And then the smart aleck reporter said, oh, yeah, all them healings. He goes, let me tell you, they were real. Let me tell you, they were real. He said, I was sitting in the choir, 13 years old, and I can bring you back to the day. They brought in a man that was so deformed, his arms and legs twisted up like this. He said, all I can tell you, he was just like a lump, a mass. And they laid him in front of Amy Simple McPherson. She said, I'm not going to pray for him right now. She just started preaching. And in the middle of the sermon, she said, now. And all of a sudden, he said, you could hear the bones popping. You could hear them cracking. You could see those arms and legs straightening up. He said, don't tell me they weren't real. Don't tell me those miracles were not real. He said, I saw blinded eyes open. I saw deaf ears unstopped. He said, I saw the cripples come in crippled and walk out on their own two feet. Now, wouldn't common sense tell you if it was real that at least one wheelchair a meeting would get up? That's charismatic witchcraft. I'm not being unkind, but Brother Hinn is not a prophet. He's not a prophet. He's not a prophet. He's a poor, misguided minister that needs to come back to the cross and get his theology straight and start allowing the Lord to work and not him to work. Hello? Secondly, I was several years ago, we rented out our TV equipment to Kenneth Copeland to take one of his meetings. I was in a neighboring town on business for the ministry. Got through early. I was supposed to be tied up all night. Got through and drove over to that town just to see. Came in, sat down on the front row. The service began. First thing, the strangest spirit I've ever felt in my life. I can't put my finger on it. At that moment, I couldn't put my finger on it. I became very uncomfortable. He was about 10 minutes into his ministry. On my left was sitting a well-known minister. I'm not going to call his name. He's in the twilight of his life. And it's no point. And he stopped and he said, "You have a prophetic word from the Lord. Come up here right now." Well, it was obvious by looking at the man's face, he didn't have a word. He got him up there, let him stand on the platform for a couple minutes, then gave him the mic and said, "Prophesy." Now, any preacher can get up and prophesy out of their flesh and it be scriptural by just speaking the word. Now, it don't mean anything. It's not helping anyone. You understand what I'm saying? So that's what he did. He just quoted some scripture. But at the end, he went into the "Thus saith the Lord," look to him, not Christ, the preacher. Look to him. Very subtle. Error number two. Number one, he didn't have a word from the Lord. Number two, there's nowhere in the Bible that we take our eyes off of Christ and put it on a man. Then, now I don't know how to say this any better. The man was standing on the end of the platform. The platform was huge. Copeland walked all the way to the other end, stood there, and for 10 minutes at least, they supposedly communicated with each other in tongues. He would begin to speak in tongues, and then the gentleman over here would be going just like this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then he would pause, and he would supposedly answer him in tongues. And over here, he'd say, and we're like, what are they saying? Because they're supposedly speaking in tongues to each other. Error number three. You don't find anywhere in the Bible of two humans speaking in tongues communicating to each other. It's not in the Bible. Now, as bad as that was, this is what scared me. The reaction of the people in the audience. Thousands of them begin to scream. And I'm not exaggerating. Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this wonderful? Oh, this is God. This is a demonstration of the gifts of the Spirit. And then something was said, he was listening, and all of a sudden he goes, "In a minute, God." Once again, just a few weeks ago, I'm watching TBN. This pastor in California, Clarence McClendon. Now, I don't know the brother, but I just want to say this. You don't divorce your wife after 20 years and then 4 days later get married and say that this is a divine miracle of God. Something was going on, something, before something. But that's wrong, and the church just yawns. and preachers pastoring churches that run thousands are there performing the vows and saying, this is God and nothing is wrong with it. Let me tell you, divorce is wrong. And let me tell you, it is a sin for the preacher to get divorced outside of the wife totally backsliding, turning her back on God and saying, I don't want anything to do with the ministry and I'm leaving. Outside of that, work it out. The Holy Spirit is still the marriage counselor. And there is an epidemic of divorce in the pulpit and it's got to stop. It's got to stop. And he's up there preaching, not on his program, on TBN. And he's up there, and all of a sudden he stops. Okay, well, I'll get to it in a minute, Lord. Yeah, I'll say that. Let me finish this thought. That is blasphemy. That is blasphemy. Let me tell you, when God speaks, you don't tell God to wait. You say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll say it right now. I'll say it the exact way. Who are we? We are poor, fallen humanity. My God, this is God. God who said, let there be life. And we're going to insult Him and say, wait a minute, I'll get to it in a minute. That is charismatic witchcraft. That is charismatic witchcraft. That is divination. That is sorcery. And the prime motive behind it is your money. Your money. Once again on TBN, Kim Clement comes out. Supposed to be a prophet. He's got hair down to here, skin tight blue jeans, a t-shirt, and a rock and roll band. Every prophet needs a rock and roll band. Did you know that? And by the way, this is the same man. If you don't believe me, you can go to his website. He says, under doctrine, I do not believe you have to be born again to be saved. Duh. Gee, really? Now listen to this. Now y'all, but listen, he is being held up nationwide, worldwide, and said he is a prophet of God, and yet he teaches you don't have to be born again to be saved. And the way that we're actually saved is we find the good in everybody. Everybody is good. They just don't know it. So, we find the serial rapist. Oh, you're not so bad. I got a lady setting up an ICU in the hospital whose children went to this school that half the side of her skull was jammed into her brain. Some career criminal that should be in prison but got out on a technicality and pistol whipped her last night. Let me tell you, you can get mad if you want, but if they catch him, I'm not going to run up to him and say, oh, you're really a good guy. I'm going to tell him, first of all, you need to get saved, and second, why don't you go ahead and do the state of service and put him in a chair? Do you accept Jesus? No. Do you accept Jesus? Yes. Amen. Every single one of us without Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there is no evil. There is no wickedness. There is no sin that we are not capable of committing. There is no good in unregenerate man. They are rotten to the core by a thing called sin. It is a disease that starts from the top of their head and goes down to the sole of their feet. They are a corrupt sore. Isaiah said, from the top of the head to the sole of our feet, we are corrupt. The head is sick, and the heart is faint, and the body is diseased because of sin. He gets up. I'm going to prophesy tonight. Prophesy tonight. Prophesy tonight. And then the band starts kicking in. And I'm not talking about gospel music. I'm talking rock and roll. And then he starts, can you handle it? Can you handle it? And I went, no, I can't. No, I can't. I'm going to turn you off. I'm going to turn you off. I'm going to turn you off. I got more sense than that. I got more sense than that. I got more sense than that. I ain't stupid watching this. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm telling you, it's time the church stood up and said, that is wrong. That is a sin. That is nothing but charismatic witchcraft. And it has no place in the body of Christ. Now, all that is a sideshow. All that is unholy entertainment. The gifts of the Spirit are not to control people, and not to take up offerings, and not to read people's mail. But the gifts of the Spirit are God's mercy, grace, love, and kindness. And love for us, given to us, carried out by 9 distinct works to help His poor children. 9 gifts broken up into 3 categories. The first is the revelation gifts. Those 3 gifts are word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. They reveal something. They reveal something. They give us information. Then there's the power gifts, which are faith, healings, working of miracles, just the example that I gave of that dear brother in South Africa. These 3 gifts do something. And then the last 3 gifts are classified as the inspiration gifts, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And these 3 gifts speak or say something. Now, you look at all 9, the 3 classifications. They're all doing something. Their purpose is to carry out something, to do something. So what is that? What is the gift of the Spirit purpose in the body of Christ? Number 1 is to edify the church. The gift of the Spirit have been given by God through the Holy Spirit by the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross to edify the church, the body of Christ. And that word edify means to build up. He loves us enough that He's not content with us staying in the same condition that we're in. But He's here to build us up, to edify us. So He's given the gifts of the Spirit to work in our midst. To strengthen, to build up. And I'm running late, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. The second is deliverance, which is exactly what we gave you in that illustration in Africa, to deliver God's people spiritually, physically, financially, domestically, and mostly. There's some of you right in here that times the enemy had something against you, whatever it is, you were facing something, but somebody led by God came up into your heart and life and had a true word. They were operating in the true gift of the Spirit. And they gave a word, and it edified you, and it brought deliverance to you. Hallelujah! Then the third, I'm hurrying. I'm getting in a hurry because I'm getting tired. Is perfecting. He wants to make something out of us. He wants to make us over into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, to perfect the body. Therefore, the gifts have come into our midst, not to be a sideshow, not to control people. There's no such thing as personal prophecy. I told this before, but new fish, I'll tell it again. Preaching, and you know when you travel, singers, musicians, come on back. You don't know what kind of church you're going into, and there's some Star Trek churches out there. Captain Kirk is the pastor. And what's the Klingon guy's name? Spock. He's the head deacon. You walk in and it's... And so I walked into this church and I didn't know it, but they were into this personal prophecy. And the first thing, the pastor brought in two people, a man and a woman. They said, now, at some point in time in the service, they will give a word from the Lord. I said, really? Oh, yes, they do this every service. They're our prophets. I go, every service? They said, every service. I said, my Lord, God sure loves y'all. Then I'm my philosophy, when I go to preach somewhere, whatever they want to do, they do. It's their church. I'm going to preach and leave unless they try to do it when I'm preaching. And I just said, listen, you can stand on your head. That's what I told them. I said, you can talk, you can stand on your head. You can do whatever you want to do, but not while I'm preaching. Not while I'm preaching. So they left. The pastor said, why did you tell them that? And I said, because it's not of God. And I said, they're not prophets. He said, how do you know? I said, well, obviously I know more than you do because they're not prophets. I'm not being unkind. If you want to throw me out, you can throw me out. I'll leave right now. But they're not prophets, and you're hurting the people. And the guy goes, really? So I walk out of there, don't know anybody there, and all of a sudden this guy comes to me, Brother Dining. Yes. Got a word for me? I said, I don't know you. Oh, that's all right. Got a word? God spoke to you about me? I said, brother, I told you, I don't even know who you are. After church, walking out, Brother Dining. What? Got a word for me? No. Saturday night. Now, I'm not exaggerating. This is God's honest truth. I walk in the door. He's sitting there waiting. And I'm not talking about a doofus. You know, I'm 37 and I just got a bicycle. I'm talking about a sensible person married with children and a job. And he goes, good sermon last night. Got a word for me. I went, thank you. No. After service, I'm not exaggerating, again, got up, nope. Sunday, he didn't hit me before service, but after service, I'm walking out. Brother Donnie, you got a word? And I stopped. I said, yeah, I got a word. What? What? The Lord says, quit running around. Ask everybody if he's got a word for you. Ask him yourself. He goes, wow, far out, man, I received that. Far out, dude, I received that. I just went, beam him up. Last statement. The gifts of the Spirit never promote a man, a church, or a ministry. The gifts of the Spirit in operation will always shine the light on Jesus Christ. And when it is a true moving and operation of the gifts of the Spirit, the person that benefits, when they leave, they won't be talking about brother or sister so-and-so. They'll be talking about what Jesus has done for them. You can have charismatic witchcraft, or you can have the true gifts of the Spirit edify, that deliver and perfect, not control, but help. Bow your heads. Father, we pray tonight that these words find good soil to lodge in. And Lord, we know that there might be some who get offended, but Lord, pray that the truth of the Word will get through. And they will recognize that the gifts of the Spirit are not something that we play with, but they emanate from the Holy Spirit, and they are to be treated as holy. As every head is bowed, every eye is closed, every one of you can be a candidate for the gifts of the Spirit. But first, before the gifts can operate, you must be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. And if you're here tonight, you'd say, Brother Donnie, I know I'm saved, born again, but I've not yet received my prayer language. I've not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And I want to be filled. Everyone standing, please. Everyone standing. And I want every one of you that raised those hands to come stand right here, side by side, shoulder to shoulder, right here, around the octagon. Just come to the edge right here and stand all the way around. Come on, right now.
Pour out your Spirit.
Side by side, shoulder to shoulder. And give me some Spirit-filled believers to come stand behind each person. A man behind a man. A woman behind a woman. Come on. Every one of you that's come to be filled, let me take just a couple of minutes and explain how one is filled with the Holy Spirit. Number one, the only requirement is to be saved, born again. That's it. You don't have to be a member of Family Worship Center. You don't have to be a member of any church, as long as you're a member of His church. Number two, we believe, according to the Word of God, that everyone that is filled will speak in other tongues. What are tongues? Tongues are languages known and spoken somewhere on this earth, but not previously known or spoken by you, the recipient. And you can find that beginning in Acts chapter 2, verse 5, as you read down. You can see that. Number three, everything we receive from the Lord comes by faith. We're saved by faith. We're healed by faith. We're kept by faith. Likewise, we are baptized in the Holy Spirit by faith. And here's how your faith will operate. In a moment, I'm going to ask every one of you that's come to be filled to lift your hands as a sign of surrender and submission. Then I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask the Lord, who's the baptizer? I'm not the baptizer. These Spirit-filled believers that will lay hands on you in a moment, they're not the baptizer. Jesus Christ is the baptizer. And I'm going to ask Christ to pour out His Spirit upon us.
Yes.
And the moment I get through praying, we're going to lay hands on you. And we're going to lay hands on you speaking in other tongues. The moment we lay hands on you, I want you to say this little simple prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, by faith, I receive the Holy Spirit. On that admission of faith, and I call that a faith declaration, and let me clarify that even more. Some of you, when you got saved, somebody led you in a sinner's prayer. Well, that was a faith declaration to be saved. You're going to do the same thing. Except it's a faith declaration to be filled with the Spirit. And the moment you articulate that, Father, in the name of Jesus, by faith, I receive the Holy Spirit. And this goes for you, listening by radio, listening by the internet, watching by the internet. You don't have to be in church. You don't have to have anybody there to lay hands on you, because the Lord will lay hands on you. And you follow these instructions just as these tonight in family worship circle. And the moment you get through saying that prayer, you're going to feel words, language, sentences flowing out of your spirit, man. This is where your soul and your spirit are right here.
Yes.
And you'll feel words, language flowing out of you. That's the Holy Spirit. Here's where the faith comes in. Open your mouth. Yield your tongue. And begin to speak what you sense and what you feel. The Holy Spirit will not make you speak it. And we cannot teach you to speak it. It must, and it can only come as you activate your faith, which is yielding your tongue and beginning to speak what you sense and feel. I don't even want you, after you pray that first little prayer, I don't want you to even keep praying in English, because it's impossible for you to speak two languages at one time.
That's right, yes.
So as soon as you articulate and say that faith prayer, then yield that tongue, open your mouth, and begin to speak.
Hallelujah.
And 10 seconds after you say it, every one of you, if you yield, can be speaking in tongues and should be speaking in tongues. Now lift your hands right now. And those of you in the audience, I need another spirit-filled man to come stand behind my brother right here. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Stretch your hands toward him, those of you in the audience. And when we begin to lay hands on you, I want every one of you praying in the Spirit. Father, as we stand here this Sunday evening, camp meeting, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, every man, every woman, every teenager, every child that stands here, that's come to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord, we're asking that you would pour out your Spirit just as you poured it out on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. And right now we say it, by faith, be filled with the Spirit. Now lay hands on them right now. Lay hands on them right now.
Oh,
I'm not talking about the weather.